following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover.
Today we have the author of her brand new book, Everyday Magnificent, Practices to Activate an Unlimited Life, according to the author, Gabriella Masala, M.A. Gabriella, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
This book, a little different than a lot of books I've read, whereas this is a workbook.
That's right. Yeah, this is an interactive playbook, journal, expressive arts, mindfulness meditation. It's really more of a companion guide to a step-by-step experience for about 3 months if you touch it every day. But what I love is for folks to really take their time. Some like to do several pages a day. Some like to span it out over much longer, maybe even two seasons or a whole year. But over the course of working with it, it really sets in new practices and even new brainwave patterns of firing and wiring to bring more playfulness, aliveness, centering, and connection into our daily lives.
What does that mean exactly?
This is a great question. Well, I would say first that Everyday Magnificent is really self-defined. Right. So that it's really something that the book itself has templates after it introduces all of the practices, activities, mindfulness meditations, touchstones, which are just those simple little things we could do that take 1 minute or even 2 minutes, whether it's focusing on our breath or drinking a glass of water or taking a moment to just pause and take in whatever beauty is around us, feeling gratitude. Those are just touchstones. Then there's practices that really are about going within. Any practice of contemplation, expression, and working with creativity in a number of different ways, meditation, those practices that really give us the experience of know thyself. Who am I now? The super exciting time to be alive. What do I value? So that a lot of the inquiry and sentence stems for the journaling, for the writing, are really designed to deepen the relationship to one's inner self, to bypass the analytical and critical part of the mind that is always in comparison and judgment and separation, and to connect more to that part of our being that is really unlimited, that part of our being that has a heart intelligence, that has the whole brain intelligence activated, that knows that we are not only connected to, but part of a much bigger cosmic, evolutionary, unified force, mystery field. And that when we're in relationship to that, we naturally light up and become more connected to life.
You know, it almost sounds like something that Christians might believe. They believe in a God, but how do you know there's a God out there? You have to believe it in your heart, I guess. Is that correct?
You know, this is a great question, and I really respect and honor all traditions and all ways of knowing and experiencing the force or the source that some may call God and some call Great Spirit and scientists might call the unified field. There's the believing, there's faith and believing, and then there's the direct experience. And I love Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a beautiful Buddhist monk who talks about interbeing, that we're not individual beings, we're interbeing. And so that part of this shift is really about a mindset, a worldview shift from a mindset of separation, which is Newtonian science, and then shifting to a worldview of quantum reality, which is whole systems theory of living in an interconnected whole system. So we can look at it through the eyes of spirituality. We can look at it through the eyes of religion, of science. We can even, like you said, look at it through the deep knowing in our innermost heart that only each of us can really describe. So whatever way you look at it, though, we are connected and part of a huge force of life. And how do we live in a way where we feel lit up, where we feel in love with our lives, where we feel connected and whole? That's really what the journal is inviting us to do by our own definition.
It's almost like goal setting. I mean, if you're wanting something, you write it down and you pretty much believe that, hey, I'm going to get this job. You're writing this down and you're going to believe it. This book sounds similar to something like that.
It is. You know, I love playing with words. I call them source creations, connecting to our larger source and not just driving from that analytical part of our brain of separation. So it's really inviting whole brain intelligence, whole brain coherence. As you probably know with your question, that when someone writes down or even draws a desired intention, goal, anything they want to bring into manifestation, they're actually 80% more likely to manifest it, right? So this is the power of giving the intelligence of our circuitry of our brains, giving it a image and a focus to go get busy creating. And that from that have the motivation and take the empowered actions to bring something into being just by the nature of writing it down or creating a drawing of it, that the actual images are as powerful and sometimes more powerful than the words.
No, I've never really been a goal setter, but there have been things that I have wanted to do, and it just mysteriously happens. And I'm sure a lot of people do that.
Yes. Well, this is, you know, again, part of the power of imagination and of seeing something in our inner sight or feeling something, right? The power lights. We are electromagnetic. I love this experience that we're not just waves and we're not just particles, but we're wavicles. We're electromagnetic beings. And so what we see, what we feel, what we want to create, when that sight or that mental imaginary image touches, and really it's like in a partnership, when it touches that emotional energy of like, yes, that's what I want to create. Those two come together and we're able to manifest. I mean, we're all co-creators. We're all creating, whether we like our creation or not.
The first time I heard this, I thought it was kind of crazy, but the more that I think about it, the more that I believe it. Some people think that once you die, you're going to come back. I think Buddhists believe that. I think Christians believe once you die, you know, hopefully you go to heaven and not to hell. But with all of this, I learned this just maybe 6 months ago or something, that time does not exist. Time is made by human. And that, is it possible that this life here is mirroring another life, that if you would have took another turn, that's your life there, and you could be anything? John Lennon wrote that, "I am he as you are he, and you are me, and we are all together," which kind of means that it's almost slices, and we're all in this, and we are all.
Yes, yes, beautifully said. And it is really mind-blowing. Right? Especially if we have up until whatever certain point that we wake up to multidimensional reality, if we've believed that we are matter in a world of matter or separate beings in a world of separation, and then we come into awareness of, whoa, there is actually universe, multiverse, infinite lives, infinite dimensions, and we can exist as consciousness, right? The difference between existing in this body in time and space in three dimensions and existing with our attention as consciousness in multiple dimensions. It is really mind-blowing. And I love to come to it with the spirit of playfulness and love and kindness, and feel, you know, when my mind is blown, we were talking about, to say, okay, so what's relevant here and now so that I can live this life, this moment, these relationships to the best of my ability, to love, to be free, to be in connection. Again, it comes back down to, what does each of us value in a life, that if we were to die tomorrow and go on to the next mystery of whatever happens, what would have made us feel like I showed up all the way. I lived fully. I was fully utilized. I showed up for this experiment.
Pretty much you have to have forgiveness for everything, or maybe in that next life or that next experience, that holds you back somehow.
Yes, I agree. You know, this reminds me of what you shared just a few minutes ago about that awareness of the heart, that when we look at and track different frequencies or vibrations of emotions, vibrates in the heart center. And so in this heart center, it's just not just the heart as a organ and muscle. This is a portal. This is a place of sight, of multidimensional sight, and even assimilation of energy. So that when we rest in emotional states of forgiveness, of unconditional love, of compassion, of gratitude, we're actually recalibrating our energy bodies, even our matter body. It's particles, but it's very slow, dense waves that become particle form. And this is science. This is quantum-based reality that I'm talking about. It's not just my far-out ideas, but that the more that we vibrate in those energies and dwell in those energies of forgiveness, compassion, kindness, unconditional love, the more that we will then not only in whatever comes after this physical form, but also in the present, we'll dwell in a place where we can be in evolution and in opening to new possibilities and in a feeling state that is really loving and accepting and open.
Your brand new book, Everyday Magnificent, Practices to Activate an Unlimited Life. Tell me a little bit about the book and what that can do. When you are living your life, that can, I guess, create sickness, and it can create happiness, and it can create everything. Am I pretty much correct on that?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, a whole life is going to have its share of all kinds of ups and downs and challenges, which I really love to consider as initiations and opportunities in terms of, wow, you know, how will we show up? Everyday Magnificent is really well designed to wake us up out of the trance or the sleepwalking or kind of the matrix of normalcy. It's a way to have very simple and practical activities and practices and touchstones that on a daily basis are touching us back into who am I now? What am I creating? Who am I as a conscious co-creator in my life? How do I reference my values and my intentions and what I want to live into from the inside out? It's about creating happiness from the inside out and about really knowing ourselves and being in intimate connection with the force of nature, with the force of life. So it's playful. It gets us in the body. It gets us breathing and dancing and moving and in a relationship. You might even say a love relationship to our own inner being and then to life around us. So it's a playbook. It's a journal that over the course of working with it, it becomes a lifestyle, right? It becomes a lifestyle. Everyday Magnificent isn't just a lofty idea. It's a way of life and by our own design.
Well, that way of life also has to include great food. I know that you talk a little bit about your drinking water. Now, I'm a big proponent of drinking water. I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and what a place. And I came up on this rock shop. They were putting these stones in water, and stones give off different vibrations in water, and the water holds it. What can you tell me more about that?
I love that you're saying that, Mark. You know, I love Santa Fe, and actually one of my dear sisters and mentors from Praising Earth is in Santa Fe. And one of the practices we have is of singing to water. We sing the sacred songs of both the grandmothers that are blessed the songs and the new songs for the earth. And we structure the water like Dr. Emoto, Japanese amazing researcher, did so much research on how water takes the structure that we give it. There's been research, the singing or chanting or even talking to the water and saying, water, we thank you, we love you, we respect and honor you. And then freezing the water and seeing that the crystals went from really distraught, broken symbols to beautiful sacred geometry just by transmitting the frequency of we love you, we thank you, we honor you. Water has consciousness and it takes the structure of what we give it. There's actually, I think also Sandra Ingerman, American woman shaman who has been doing amazing work for many decades in this field, has actually done a lot of research where there were intentions, prayers over putrefied water, and that over time, the intentions and the structure of those who were praying over the water changed the alkaline and changed the molecular structure again to be beautiful crystalline sacred geometry. So that's what I can tell you about water. It's powerful. And as you probably know, in the movement of our evolution on our planetary consciousness, water is water, water rights, how we relate to water, how we honor water is becoming really, really important.
I heard you talk one time about this, where you like to get outdoors, you like to feel nature, nature is alive. If you're in a place that's kind of quiet, that's great, but what do people in the city do? What can they do?
That's a great question and one I get quite a bit. Of course, everywhere we are, we can't get away from nature. You know, I have a friend that says the cities are full of nature, it's human nature. So always, you know, there's always the sky. I remember spending 2 weeks in India volunteering at a really beautiful little slum school. For 2 weeks, I didn't see the sun. I just saw a gray, thick sky. But every day in that, you know, very dirty, impoverished place, I was able to breathe. I was able to take a deep breath, even if the air was polluted. I was able to connect to the ground beneath me. I was able to look into the eyes of these beautiful children and see human nature there, to connect with their laughter, to reach out, you know, touch, hugs, hands, that everywhere we go, even if we're in a very crowded environment, loud environment, an environment that is not coherent, we can either find that human connection through our hearts, or we can also close our eyes even for a moment and go within and find the internal place of quiet and that internal rhythm, right? Do you know that most people actually vibrate, their entrainment and vibration is to the frequency of their refrigerators because it's usually the loudest buzzing thing in a home. But there's a frequency to the sky, to the sun, to the earth, to the power of human touch that is actually much more native to our structures of hearts, of peace, of love. And so I would say really play with finding coherence and connection through either going inside, eyes closed, deepening the breath, or through in the middle of a crowded city, connect to the sky, see a bird, feel the breeze, connect to your feet. Even get barefoot if you have to, even if it's on a tiny little mound of park. So everywhere we are, the earth is there. We're on it. We are it. And everywhere we are nature.
You know, if people are in the house and they're taking on the vibration of the refrigerator, no wonder some people are so frigid, right?
That's right. Yeah. Aw.
Everyday Magnificent, you've got a journal in this thing, and you've got, you know, you're going to be doing this for months, and you said even you could stretch this out for a year if you wanted to. How tough is it for people to journal, and what can people do to get more involved with journaling?
Great question. I'd say, first of all, it's not for everyone. If journaling is not something that really resonates, when we get over, you know, that initial hump of any time that we try something new, that we try to take on a new habit, that we explore with something, we might hit the resistance field. We might hit some moments, some days where the mind just doesn't want to do it. And then also to be aware that sometimes the mind or that ego part of us, the persona, the identity, nothing wrong with it. It's just one of the many parts of our whole. it's sometimes going to feel threatened or feel a sense of, wow, this is asking me to get intimate with myself. This is asking me to reveal something that may be uncomfortable to reveal. Right? As we start looking into our unconscious, sometimes we see things that we understand why we made them unconscious and forgot them. So it can be a threat to the old self-image. What I would say is embrace this resistance as, oh, I'm about to discover something new. I'm about to explore. So I would say come to Everyday Magnificent, the journal, or any kind of journaling that you're inspired to do, and come to it playfully. Come to it intentionful, but expectation free, to come explore, come be free, bring your childlike nature, you know, empty your cup and be willing to discover something new, and then just show up to it. And part of what I love about processes like Everyday Magnificent is it's not saying take an hour a day. It's set up so you can get small bites, 5 minutes here, 2 minutes there, 10 minutes a day, and that it's really about not something that we do because it's good for us, but about something that we do because it's a way of being good to ourselves.
How did you get involved with finding how to activate your unlimited life?
I have always been a lover of metaphysical and all things esoteric. I have always felt a very strong connection to what I call the invisible realms. That's really my fuel, taking from drinking from this field. That's been lifelong. Even since I was a child, I was always just so lit up by transformation and evolution and how much more is available than the very limited, narrow band of reality our dominant paradigm says is real. So I love the unlimited aspect of our being. And then over the course in my life, I've really been tuned into the quantum-based reality worldview, and that when we look at this place of we are so much more than just that driving part of our analytical mind of separation, we have this circuitry of our brain, our nervous system, we have all of these energy centers that some might call chakras that have their own brains, their own nerve systems. We have this amazing ability to feel and sense. We are all of us, whether we're in touch with it or not, have the ability to be incredibly intuitive, creative, telepathic. All of us, whether we're in tune to it or not, have the ability to expand our consciousness far beyond our bodies and feel and sense and tap into so much more of our infinite nature. And so just by a process of loving that, you know, I've been in and out of all worlds of world spiritualities and yoga and shamanism, quantum physics, and have really loved more recently the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is one of my mentors, who beautifully articulates and demystifies what it is to really live as an unlimited being.
You go back to the people from a very long time ago, and they might have used mind-altering drugs pretty much for this. What's your feeling on something like that, whether it's peyote to come into nature, come into the universe?
Great question. I actually live in Austin, Texas, where marijuana is not legal. And, my general sense is that many of these plant medicines, Asca, Santa Maria, or marijuana, as some call it, Huachuma, right? Many of these plant medicines are intended to remind us of our unlimited nature, to connect us to the invisible realms, to support us in getting beyond the mind of separation, Newtonian science, and get us into that sense of our interbeing with the sacred patterns of life. And certainly nature is amazing. We don't even need plant medicine to go out into nature and really listen and really look with deeper eyes and see this amazing orchestration of sacred life, right? So where I stand with a lot of the plant medicines is that they actually can be incredibly supportive to expand one's consciousness. But then at a certain point, like anything in our, again, dominant paradigm, there's a lot of addiction. There's a lot of fixation on recreational use of some of these agents and plants, and there's a lot of distraction and, again, just separation. So I think that if these plant medicines are used ritualistically, with intention, if we come to them with honor and respect, if we come to them really willing to know thyself and feel what is most wanting to come through for our evolution, they can be incredibly powerful. But when they start to be used recreationally and in a lack of sobriety and really respect for what they have to share, it can be damaging. So again, to show up with honor is what I would say around the plant medicines, and that definitely they are teachers of our multidimensional nature.
Everyday Magnificent, your brand new book. It's a workbook. How do I get this workbook? And do you have a website maybe I could visit to find more out about this book and you?
Yes, yes. I love hearing from folks. You can visit me at GabrielaMasala.com. That's Gabriela with one L, MASALA.com. Everyday Magnificent is on the website. It's also on Amazon, on Balboa Press, everydaymagnificent.com. You can also come join me on Instagram, Facebook. Love to hear from everyone for this journey together.
Find out about your journey through Everyday Magnificent, this great workbook by Gabriela Masala, and she will show you how to get in touch with yourself. It'll open up a lot. You will not realize how you ever got along without this great information and finding out what you truly can do. Gabriela, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Mark. Pleasure to talk with you. Take good care.
Been listening to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. We've been talking with Gabriela Masala with her book, Everyday Magnificent. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.